I came to betray her.
Tally had imagined telling her secret to David so many times, rehearsing this speech to herself almost every night, that she could hardly believe this wasn't just another nightmare in which the truth was forced from her. But as the reality of the moment sank in, she found the words spilling out in a torrent. I was a spy for Dr. Cable. That's how I knew where special circumstances was. That's why the specials came to the smoke. I brought a tracker with me.
You're not making any sense, David said. You fought when they came. You escaped. You helped rescue my mother.
I changed my mind, and I never meant to activate the tracker, honestly. I wanted to live in the smoke. But the night before the invasion, after I found out about the lesions, she closed her eyes. After we kissed, I accidentally set it off.
What?
My locket. I didn't mean to. I wanted to destroy it. But I'm the one who brought the specials to the smoke, David. I'm the reason why Shay is pretty. It's my fault your father's dead.
You're making this up. I'm not going to let you. David, Maddie said sharply, silencing her son. She's not lying.
Tally opened her eyes.
Maddie was looking at her sadly.
Dr. Cable told me everything about how she manipulated you, Tally. I didn't believe her at first. But the night you rescued us, she just brought Shay down to confirm it.
Tally nodded.
Shay knew I was a traitor at the end.
She still knows, Maddie said, but it doesn't matter to her anymore. That's why Tally has to do this.
You're both crazy, David shouted. Look, Mom, just get off your high horse and give Shay the pills.
He reached out his hand. I'll do it for you.
David, I won't let you turn yourself into a monster, and Tally's made her choice.
David looked at them both, unable to believe any of it. Finally, he found the words.
You're a spy?
Yes, at first. He shook his head.
Son.
Maddie stepped forward, trying to hold him.
No!
He turned and ran, tearing the Mylar shade down and leaving the others inside speechless. Even Shay was shocked into silence. Before Tally could follow, Maddie took her arm in a firm grip.
You should go to the city now.
Tonight? But...
Otherwise you'll talk yourself out of it. Or David will.
Tally pulled away. I have to say goodbye to him.
You have to go.
Tally stared at Maddie and slowly realized the truth. Although the woman's gaze held more sadness than anger, there was something cold in her eyes. David might not blame her for Az's death, but Maddie did.
Thank you, Tally said softly, forcing herself to hold Maddie's gaze.
For what?
For not telling him. For letting me do it myself.
Maddie shook her head, managing a smile.
David needed you these last 2 weeks.
Tally swallowed and stepped away, looking at the city.
He still needs me.
Tally,
I'll go tonight, all right? But I know that David will be the one who brings me back.
Down the river. Before leaving, Tally wrote a letter to herself. It was Maddie's idea, to put her consent in writing. That way, even as a pretty, unable to comprehend why she would ever want her brain fixed, Tally could at least read her own words and know what was about to happen.
Whatever makes you feel better, Tally said. As long as you cure me, no matter what I say, don't leave me like Shay.
I'll cure you, Tally. I promise. I just need written consent.
Maddie handed her a pen and a small, precious piece of paper.
I never learned penmanship, Tally said. They don't require it anymore.
Maddie shook her head sadly and said,
Okay, you dictate, and I'll write it.
Not you. Shay can write it for me. She took a class, back when she was trying to get to the smoke.
Tally remembered the scrawl of Shay's directions to the smoke. Clumsy,
but readable. The letter didn't take long. Shay giggled at Tally's heartfelt words, but she wrote them down as directed. There was something earnest in the way she put stylus to paper, like a littlie learning how to read. When they were finished, David still hadn't come back. He'd taken one of the hoverboards in the direction of the ruins. As she put away her things, Tally kept glancing at the window, hoping he would return. But Maddie was probably right. If Tally saw him again, she would just talk herself out of this. Or maybe David would stop her. Or worse, maybe he wouldn't. But no matter what David said now, he would always remember what she had done, the lives she had cost with her secrets. This was the only way Tally could be certain that he had forgiven her. If he came to rescue her, she would know.
"So let's get moving," Shay said when they were done. "Shay, I'm not going to be gone forever. I'd rather you..." "Come on, I'm sick of this place."
Tally bit her lip. What was the point of giving herself up if Shay was coming too? Of course, they could always snatch her away again as well. Once the cure was proven to work, they could give it to anyone. Or everyone. "The only reason I've been hanging around this dump is to try to get you to come back," Shay said, then lowered her voice. "You know, it's my fault you're not already pretty. I messed up everything by running away. I owe you."
"Oh, Shay."
Tally's head began to spin. She closed her eyes.
"Maddie always says I can go any time. You don't want me to go back all alone, do you?"
Tally tried to imagine Shay hiking to the river alone.
"No, I guess not."
She looked at her friend's face and saw a spark in her eyes, something real ignited by the idea of going on a trip with Tally.
"Please? We'll have a blast in New Pretty Town."
Tally spread her hands.
"Okay, I guess I can't stop you."
They rode together on one hoverboard. Croy came along on another to take the boards back when they reached the city's edge. He didn't talk the whole way down. The other new Smokies had all heard the fight outside and finally knew what Tally had done. It must have been worse for Croy. He had suspected, and she'd lied to him face to face. He was probably wishing he'd stopped Tally himself before she'd had a chance to betray them all. When they reached the Greenbelt, though, he forced himself to look at her. "What did they do to you, anyway, to make you do something like that?"
"They said I couldn't turn until I'd found Shay."
He looked away, staring at the lights of New Pretty Town, bright in the clear cold of a November night.
"So you're finally getting your wish?"
"Yeah, I guess."
"Tally's going to be pretty," Shay said.
Croy ignored her and looked at Tally again.
"Thanks for rescuing me, though. That was some trick you guys pulled off. I hope that..."
He shrugged and shook his head.
"See you later."
"I hope so." Croy stuck the boards together and headed back up the river.
"This is going to be the best," Shay said. "I can't wait for you to meet all my new friends. And you can finally introduce me to Paris."
"Sure." They walked down toward Uglyville until they found themselves in Cleopatra Park. The earth was hard underneath their feet in the late autumn chill, and they huddled close against the cold. Tally wore her smoke-made sweater. She'd wanted Maddie to keep it for her, but she'd left her microfiber jacket behind instead. City-made clothes were too valuable to waste on someone going back to civilization. "You see, I was already getting popular," Shay was saying. "Having a criminal past is the only way to get into the really good parties. I mean, no one wants to hear about what classes you took in ugly school," she giggled.
"We should be a hit then."
"Duh. When we tell everyone about your kidnapping me right out of Special Circumstances headquarters, and how I talked you into escaping from that band of freaks."
"But we're going to have to tone it down, Squint. No one's ever going to believe the truth."
"No. You're right about that." Tally thought of the letter she'd left with Maddie. Would she even believe the truth in a few weeks' time? How would the words of a fugitive, desperate, tragic, ugly look through a pretty's eyes? For that matter,
What was David going to look like after she'd been surrounded by new pretty faces 24 hours a day? Would she really believe all that stuff about ugliness again? Or would she remember how someone could be beautiful, even without surgery? Tally tried to picture David's face, but it hurt to think how long it would be before she saw him again. She wondered how long it would take after the operation before she would stop missing David. It might be a few days before the lesions completely took hold of her, Maddie had warned, but that didn't mean it was her own mind, changing itself. Maybe if she decided to go on missing him, no matter what, Tally could keep her mind from changing. Unlike most people, she knew about the lesions. Maybe she could beat them. A dark shape passed overhead, a warden's hover car, and Tally instinctively froze. The city uglies had said there were more patrols out these days. The regular authorities had finally noticed that things were changing. The hover car halted, then settled softly onto the earth next to them. A door slid open and a blinding light popped on. "All right, you kids." "Oh, sorry, miss." The light was on Shay's face. Then it flickered across to Tally. "What are you two?" The warden's voice stumbled. Didn't this beat everything? A pretty and an ugly taking a stroll together. The warden came closer, confusion all over his middle pretty face. Tally smiled. At least she was causing trouble to the end. "I'm Tally Youngblood," she said. "Make me pretty."
Uglies was written by Scott Westerfeld and read by Emily Tremaine. Editing and post-production by Matt Cardzonis. The associate producer was Louisa Solomon. Uglies was produced and directed by Matt Cardzonis. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. Uglies is available in print from Simon Pulse. Also by Scott Westerfeld from Simon & Schuster Audio. Afterworlds, read by Heather Lind and Sheetal Sheth. And The Leviathan Series, read by Alan Cumming.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.